have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening. We made it back. Today is Friday, February 3rd, 2023. And I'm welcoming everybody back. I want to say hello. Hello to Sister Kimmy, our wonderful producer. I want to say hello to my brother Jason. Brother Jason, you on with me?
Yes, sir.
Awesome, awesome. I just want to say hello to everybody. Man, today we got a continuation of kind of what we started last week. Kind of got a a bit of a theme running this month, and we're really talking about spiritual growth amongst the family, but we started out talking about the men. And before we move too far into just talking about brothers and all of our downfalls and things like that, we got into a discussion a little bit about the ladies. I know I don't have any ladies on here with me, but you know, we're gonna try to do y'all some justice tonight, and we want to talk a little bit about you know, as men, roles that we think our wives should have. But I'm not married, so it's gonna be a touchy subject for me. And I know Jason. I know Jason's gonna have some thoughts on that. J-Dub, before we get started, how's your week been?
Been a good week, you know. Just been snowing in Texas, so you know, we've been dealing with that a little bit. But other than that, really good.
Awesome. Glad to hear that. Well, I just want to open up our discussion here today. Jason, we left off last week, and we were talking about basically what we thought, how we thought men should be conducting themselves, and how we should be moving throughout this wonderful life that we lead. So I couldn't help it, but we were talking about, we had a discussion earlier today, and we were talking about the woman's role. And we're just generally talking about society, but we're also talking about being wise and things of that nature. And Jason, we had some interesting, we had a bit of an interesting conversation earlier, wouldn't you say?
Yes, sir, we did.
Okay, so I just want to start off by saying something really simple. We kind of wanted to talk about the what role that a woman plays in society, relationships. You know, we're kind of talking about the workplace. We're talking about playing the role of a wife, or just what God has for us to do. And man, so I went straight to the word. You know, I can't stay away from it, because everything that I try to form my opinions around what the Word of God says. I don't like to think of myself, I don't like to use the word progressive, but I have a very open, definitely not liberal, but a very open idea, I believe the Bible says, about the woman and her role as a woman in the society that we live in. And I guess I would say one of the, I'm trying to think of it, because I don't, Jason, help me out with this, but I don't, when I think of a woman and her role in our society, I don't always think of a married woman. I don't always think of a mother. I don't always think of just a daughter or a friend. You know, I go with what the word says, and I try not to deviate, but again, and what I'm doing here, I'm getting all my notes together. I'm sorry, I'm not all together, but I went to, and I know this is really going to be capturing talking about the wife, but I went to 1 Timothy 2, and I think it's 11 through 15. I just jotted down a note, and verse 11 just simply says that it says, a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. And it's in verse 12 says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And in verse 14 says, and Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and become a sinner. Verse 15 says, but woman will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness. oh, with propriety. I chose that scripture because of the beginning, but I don't necessarily, it's not that I don't agree with it, because it's a scripture, and I'll have to go back and do a lot more background on that. But Jason, we were talking earlier, and you had an idea of a woman's role in our society. Can you share that with us? I want to let you open up that door, and you and I both have a just discussion about a couple of topics that we've chosen, and you definitely feel free to ask me questions as we go along, okay?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. So I think for me, it starts at the beginning. And, of course, everything for me starts with the Bible and the Word of God. And it starts at the beginning. It starts in Genesis. And before we go about woman's role, I kind of want to talk about, like, just man's role. So God, Garden of Eden, creates man, gives the garden, the animals, and it gives man dominion over that creation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He's mm-hmm. supposed to tend the garden. He's supposed to, you know, shepherd the animals. You know, he had dominion over that. And in that, you know, the man had a personal relationship with God where they walked hand in hand daily, right?
Yeah.
And even with that, right, I think, you know, a lot of people say, like, you know, like, why was woman created? And they look at the scripture where it says, and man, it's not good for man to be alone. I don't think, when I read that scripture, and this is just my interpretation, I don't think when God said that, it was identifying a deficit in a man's life, but it was really God saying, you know what? Yeah, I'm here, but I love this creation so much. Let me give him something that's more like him, not the animal, not the plant, right? You know, he originally tried to create the animals, but then ultimately he put Adam to sleep and created, you know, took a rib out of his chest and created woman, right? And the first thing he said when he created woman, he said, it's not good for a man to be alone. I'm going to create him a helpmate, right? So that scripture really kind of informs my understanding of what I believe a woman's role is. Every human being's role is to serve God and to worship him and serve him and go out and do whatever he's called us to do. In the man's capacity, he's called directly by God to do something. The woman's capacity is to help that man go out and do the thing God has called him to do, right? And I think, you know, like I said, based on that scripture and the understanding of God and how he designed it, I truly believe, you know, one of the reasons women are here is to help their man and fulfill the thing that God has called them to fulfill.
Okay, I'm glad we went right there. I'm glad we jumped right to it. I love you, man. I love you. But my thought when you said that, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, but what if that woman doesn't have a man?
So
who's she helping? What is she fulfilling? What's her, you know, does she still have a place?
Well, I mean, God has a plan and a purpose for everybody, right? And this is going to be controversial. I believe every woman should be under the headship of some man, either her father or her husband. So if that woman doesn't have a man, you know, I think the fullest part of a woman's life is to say, hey, who can I help, you know, fulfill their role with God? And in reality, I believe God has put a will in everybody's heart. And I said this before I got married. I used to date. I tell people all the time, like, man, God has the plan for me in my life, right? And, you know, let's say his plan for my life, hey, Jason, I want you to go minister in Chicago. I live in Dallas. I meet this woman, and this woman tells me what God's put on my heart that I need to minister in Kentucky. And I'm like, well, God, we ain't supposed to be together because I don't believe God would, knowing that God is going to give me a helpmate, he's going to give me a woman that he's put on her heart to minister in Chicago, so that way we stay in alignment. So for a man, for a woman who doesn't have a man, you know, it's really going to be critical for her to really kind of get engaged with God and say, "What's your plan?" I know the design for me as a woman is to be the helpmate to a man, but I don't have that right now. You know, what is your plan for me?
Because you know, when I hear you talk, because, like, I live on this side of the world where I say, okay, a woman's role. You see, I understand what the Word of God says, right? But I apply, and you can help me with this. But usually, traditionally, I've always thought of the woman's role in the church. I never really thought about a woman's role just in our society, like, like when I was in the Army, I served in the U.S. Cavalry, right? I served in the Cav. There are no women in the Cavalry. When I was in the military, no women. It was off limits. There were no women in the Cavalry unless you were what we call a dependent, married to somebody in the military. You could visit our post, like if you were a nurse or something and we had our clinic open, you would come in and work during the day, you know, your 9 to 4:30 shift, and then you would leave. Like, but there was no women who lived amongst the soldiers, right, who were on active duty. And so I've always thought of it in that kind of context. And I see women could not do what we were doing because that's just the way it was. Now, we're talking about the military. We're talking about the 1980s here. The women didn't do that job. And so what was the role of that woman? You know, and what you're describing here, Jason, you're saying, well, to support the man. Well, we saw that a lot with the wives of the soldiers who were married. But what is that woman's role? And I started thinking, you know, and I just, this is where I think women can hold down jobs. I think women can have their own houses. I don't think women have to be married. Honestly, I don't believe that every woman or every man, for that matter, but every person is destined to be married. But since we're talking about women, I will emphasize women. And I look at the different scriptures, but I think of women in the church as helpmates or helpers in the church. But also in the church, what about women preachers? What do you think about that?
Oh, that's a controversial one, right? Now, uh-huh. if you read the Bible in the text of the mm-hmm. Bible, literally, it basically said women can't, you know, they can't serve in a position of authority over men. And when it talks about within the confines of the church and the church structure, it's not permitted, right? Now, mm-hmm. I've heard that scripture and I've heard that message preached a lot of times. And one of the things that frequently mm-hmm. comes up is like, hey, understand the cultural context of the word of God, right, of the word at this time, right? In the culture at the time, women didn't do this, women didn't do that. And, you know, when this was written, you have to also layer on that the cultural context of when it was written. Now, for me, my whole thing is, you know, like we always talked about, well, when we read the word of God, we don't add or subtract from it. And if cultural context is something that is needed in interpreting the Bible, then I think God would give that to us. But, you know, for me, I read the Bible very literally, right? That doesn't mean that I'm against, I think people who have pastors, women pastors in churches and stuff like that are wrong. It's just my understanding of what the Bible is and what the Bible says is that that's not a position for them, right? And, of course, we have all kinds of, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask a question to that because, and I think we may mention it when we talked earlier, but when you read in the book of Judges and you read about Deborah, I mean, wasn't she a judge?
Yeah. But I think, you know, we have to talk about this. When you start talking about that, you got to think about it like this. When you look at the Bible, understand there are some exceptions, right? We serve a powerful, you know, omnipotent, like, God who we may not understand everything that he does. So just because you see one instance of a situation where, hey, you know, this is a little bit, you know, this is different from what some part of Scripture is, that doesn't make mm-hmm. it norm, right? To me, I see that more as an exception. Not the norm.
Okay, but how do you determine what's an exception and what's the rule? I'm going to say it like that instead of the norm. When addressing God's word, how then do you decide? Are we to decide, or does God have that decision?
Well, I mean, I think God.
Uh-huh.
Okay, cool.
Go ahead.
No, what you gonna say?
No, you go right ahead.
No, I would say I would say, like, how do we decide what's the exception versus what's the norm? I think that is completely, totally, it's not us making the decision, but it's us, our interpretation, right? Because God has already made the decision, hey, women shouldn't be over men. You know, he says that in the New Testament. But throughout the Bible, you see places where that happens, right? The way I understand it is that's God making the exception to his divine rule because he can, because he's God. Now, what we are supposed to do is try to understand the word of God, you know, and the writings of it. So when you see something in the New Testament, it doesn't read like there's a cultural context. It reads like, hey, this is the rule, right? You know, similar to the commandment, thou shalt not. You know, there's no cultural context of that. Those read like, hey, this is God saying what is and what isn't, right? And, you know, when I read that scripture about women preaching in church, I read it the same way. Hey, God saying what is and what isn't.
So the reason why I ask that, I see for me that's important because, like you know, I read the scriptures and I don't know all the scriptures. And I know sometimes I sound like I really know what I'm talking about, and then sometimes I sound like I'm not sure. But when I think of women, and I know we're kind of going back and forth. We're going to be going, if you don't mind, I'm going to be going back to society and then back into the church. But right now we're in the church. As for me, I don't, when a man is not doing what he's supposed to do and a woman has to step up into that leadership post, I don't have a problem with that. I encourage I encourage a woman to feel her heart's desire. I don't encourage her to go against the word of God at all. But I guess sometimes I get stuck in that part when you, like what you were just talking about, you're saying to lead a man. She should not be in a position to lead a man. What does that really mean? Because I'm gonna look that scripture up as you and I are talking here. I'm gonna look it up. I mean, I've read it who knows how many times, but I just want to look it up just to let our listeners know what scripture you were talking about. But what does that mean, a woman leading a man? What's your interpretation of that?
I would say spiritually, right? I don't think that means that, hey, you can't have a female boss, right? I don't think it applies to that. I think it applies to the spiritual leadership of man, right? And so when I read that, you know, I never thought to myself like, well, I should never have a woman boss. Well, I never felt that way. I felt that it is a spiritual thing where, you know, and you look at it, right? And in the household, the man is called to be the spiritual leader of his home, right? So for me,
okay,
When I look at that scripture think about it, it really for me seems to be it's more about the spiritual leadership, not the social or societal leadership that they're referring to.
Because you mentioned something about the household, but what about these brothers who don't even go to church? What spiritual home are they going to leave? They don't really believe in God. They married this woman because some women believe, like you were saying a few minutes ago, some people believe that a woman should be married and should be supporting a man. Okay, they got married. They have kids. The kids are growing up. The man decides he doesn't want to be a part of the church. He doesn't want to go to church. What happens then? The woman has to be the spiritual leader in the house if she's the only one in church. Am I right or wrong? Or would you say that woman doesn't go to church because the husband says she can't?
So I want to go back to something that you said. I want to go back to a statement that you made that if the man is not stepping up to his role, then the woman should fill that role, right? I would say, for me, I wouldn't agree with that statement. I would say I think the goal of any relationship is to foster that individual to be the best version of himself that God has called them to be. So, and this kind of going back to the example that you gave, I'm a woman, my man's not in church, right? It's not my place to spiritually lead that man to church, but what it is my place to love that man, really pray for that man, encourage that man, right? Hold that man to a standard and be the tool that God uses to help that man become the best version of himself. because I believe that vice versa. A man's in the church, and he finally meets a woman, right? And she's talking about, I don't want to go to church. I ain't into that. I got some church hurt. For whatever reason, she doesn't want to be at the church, right? I don't believe it's that man's place to force her to go. I believe it's that man's place to love her and to be the tool that God's going to use to shape her heart, to minister to her, and to help her become that version, that best version of herself, which is someone who's going to love God, who's going to want to be at the church, who's going to want to do those things. So, in that situation, I would say no. It's not the role of the woman to be the spiritual leader of the church.
Because and just for anybody who's listening, we're talking about 1 Timothy 2:12. But you're saying, okay, he doesn't go to church. She's in church. She's studying the Word of God. So what if she is, let's just say she's a minister. Let's just say her calling. Let's say she's an evangelist or a minister. Let's say she's an officer in the church. So you're still saying that it's not her job to be the spiritual leader of that family because the man's not stepping up. He's not in church. Because that's where I start to draw. I start to kind of say, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I agree with the Word of God, and I believe it's true. But as we find, even in different stories in the Bible, sometimes women have had to step up. In the absence of men, women have been put in these roles. They've been ordained to do these things. So I'm saying, if a man is home, I disagree with the way, you know, with your thought on it, because you lead by example, and if the man's not doing what he's supposed to do, and the woman's praying, and she prays out loud, the woman prays when they go to the table, the woman blesses the food before they eat, the man doesn't do it. So are you saying possibly that's not right? That goes against the Word of God? It shouldn't be done?
I would say, like, our job is to, God has laid out an order for how we're supposed to respond to biblical relationships, our role in the church, our goal, His will in our life. He has laid out that order. We should always love God and understand the order that He laid out is perfect. So then how do I make sure that I do my part to maintain myself in that order, but also the people that God has brought into my life, help them maintain that order? Once again, can't force them, right? You know, so the example that you gave, man's not in church, woman's got a, like, let's say she's on the teaching team, the ministering team at church. It's real simple. They sit down to eat. Hey, baby, I need you to pray over dinner, right? Or can you pray over dinner for us, right? And to truly encourage that man to do the things, right? Not you know, to do the things and be the person that God has called him to be. Does she have that skill and ability? Yes, she does. But is it just because you have a skill doesn't mean you always have to utilize it. Sometimes being a good steward of that skill is knowing when to allow other people to step into their light, right? To suppress your light, suppress your skill, to allow them to step up into that.
What you're saying is, then she should temper herself, right? Because again, 1 Timothy 2:12 says, I do not permit a woman to teach or assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. So what you're saying is, even though they're not in the church, they're at home, basically she should just encourage her man to step up. And she should just kind of nurture him along. But didn't we stop raising boys? He's a man.
Well, so I'm going to go back to the beginning, right? I don't believe, I tell you like this, I tell my daughters all the time, we don't missionary date, right? And if I'm a woman or a man, and I've got a strong relationship with God, and that's a prevalent part of my life, then it's imperative that I tie myself to someone who is in that same alignment. If I choose, okay, go ahead.
Okay, okay. So you're saying you're falling back on you should be equally yoked. Am I right? That's that's where you're going with this?
Yes, sir.
Okay, okay. Now that's fine. So, and again, we're talking what if, but we're talking real life today. I just want everybody to know we're talking real life today. I've seen this happen. He's in the church, and something tragic happens in his life. All of a sudden, he falls down. He's just like that guy on the block. You wouldn't know he was a Christian, right, if he didn't tell you. So you're still saying the woman should just be that quiet listener? No, look, I'm not advocating arguments in the house. That's not what I'm doing. I just really want to get your full concept of this. And keep in mind we're talking to other people as well. So, because I personally believe that again, I don't believe the woman should nag the man, no more than I believe the man should nag the woman. But a ever so slight constant urging, and what I mean by that is, if he won't pray for over the food, why can't she pray over the food? Are you suggesting that she shouldn't? Because now who's teaching the kids?
Right. Well. First of all, like I said, no. I don't think she should not do it. Right. I don't advocate her not doing it. I'm saying that instead of just saying like, hey, I'm going to pray over the food, she invites the man into that space, and if he so chooses to operate in that space, great. Right. You know, she's helping him, you know, really fulfill, you know, what God has called him to do and called him to be. Which is exactly the part about loving somebody to the best version of themselves, right?
Okay.
So So if she said, hey baby, you want to pray for dinner? No, man, I'm not really into that. Okay, well, I'll do it this time, right? And she prays,
mm-hmm.
and each time she does that, right? You know, with the whole goal for her to say like, hey, I'm trying to love you to a point where you can be that man. You can be that person that spiritually leads.
Okay. So then what's your opinion on, okay, so we have a lady out here. She's worked hard. She's gotten her education. She only dating some certain types of guys who are what she sees financially on her level and intellectually on her level, but she's single now. How does she, because, you know, I think we were talking before about my big thing was women in the workplace. So we're leaving the church now. We're going to go outside into the real world again, into the world where we all live, right? So what about women and their jobs? Like, they don't want to date guys who maybe don't have the same education that they have. What kind of covering does she have? Is she just going to only be covered by men in the church? Meaning a pastor or a deacon or a minister or some member of the church, maybe it's a brother in the church who's covering her house. Where does her spiritual covering come from, and how is she expected to live? Because this is one of the women that ain't married.
So that's the first thing, and I'll tell you in my experience, I've talked to a lot of single people, and when you ask them, it's a quick question, what are you looking for in a person? Right, and they'll give you this laundry list of things. They got to be this tall. They got to be, you know, have this complexion. They got to have this job. They got to have this education. They put this laundry list of things, but what they don't say, they got to be the man, the person God's given me. So when you talk about like, what do you do in that situation? What you do in that situation, you submit to God and you say, hey God, bring me the person that is for me, right? And the challenge is, because I've taught when I challenge somebody, when they give me that laundry list, the question I ask, what if God brings you something different? Oh, he wouldn't do that to me. And I'm like, okay, you might want to read your Bible, because I remember a man named Hosea, and the wife that God gave him was nothing that fits his position, right? And so to say that God wouldn't do that to me, I'm like, I'm not Hosea. Hosea was a prophet. He was somebody that was tight with God. And if God did that to him,
He knew he could handle that situation. But,
right?
But see, my thing is this. How do I say it? My thing is this, though. Like, we treat women as if they're different than men. Isn't there a scripture that talks about spiritually that God does not differentiate? They're both blessed the same. They get blessed just like us.
Yeah, but I think we can't fool ourselves, right? God does not differentiate between men and women, but there is definitely a position and authority that is different, right? He has called men to do certain things. He has called women to do certain things, and culturally, that's not a very popular position, right? We're equal. We want to talk about equality between men and women, and women can do just the same thing as men can do, and this and that. And I don't disagree with that, but I would never tell. I've never told this to my daughters. I've never told this to my son. I'm not going to tell this to anybody. The position and the authority God has given us is not the same, nor is it equal, nor is the responsibility. Right? I mean, if you go back to the beginning in Genesis, right?
Uh-huh.
Woman needs woman. You know, God gives man the command. Right? Don't eat from the tree. Right?
Okay.
Man shares that command with woman. Right? Serpent comes in. Serpent, you know, fools a woman. Now, a lot of people want to go to the scripture and say, look, women are weaker vessel. But I would tell you, in that story, the man was the weaker vessel. Because if you really study that story, the man was sitting there listening to the serpent say all this stuff to his wife, to his woman. And never once did he was given the command from God, right? He was given the command directly from God. And here is this creature speaking against the command he gave from God. And he failed in his responsibility to say, like, hold on, you know, hold on, sweetie, hold on. Hey, baby girl, stand behind me. Let me talk to this little serpent. Hold on, homeboy. My God did not say that. You need to take yourself and go on.
So you said Adam was right there, and he didn't protect his wife, his woman, his lady, his helpmeet, his rib. He didn't do nothing. He just said, okay.
Right. He listened to her be swayed by that questioning. And once again, I don't think that's an indication of weakness or lesser vesselness, you know, in the woman. It's the inquisitiveness of all of us, right? It's that sinful nature in all of us that sometimes questions, well, did God really say that? Does God really want me to do that? Hold on, God don't want that. That's just in all of us, right? It takes a part of us to say, you know what? No, God didn't say that, right? And I think the failure in the garden falls more on the man than it is the woman, because
I agree.
It's hard. Like, if you think about it, Eve did not get that command from God. She did not speak directly with God. Now, once she was created, she had that relationship, but she was never given that command for God. She was given that command from Adam. But see, Adam was given that command for God, and if he really stood behind God's word and making sure that everything that he has dominion over, including his wife, if he truly say like you see in Joshua, in my house we gonna love the Lord, right? Or how that scripture breaks down.
Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If he stood that way, he would not allow his woman to. He would not allow Eve to even hear that. He wouldn't even allow the serpent in that mix to be talking that mess, right? And then he would have talked to Eve and be like, hey, baby, I know the serpent and what he's saying sounds good, but just know the God that I love, the God that created you, the God that created me, the God that brought us together, created this beautiful thing. All he has is good for us. So what that serpent is saying, it ain't from him. Don't let him fool you, right? And love her and encourage her and teach her and help her see, like, you know what? You're right, baby, you know? Because, you know, you are a good thing in my life, and God created me for you and you for me, and man, right? But he failed, right? Adam failed. But just to close out my point, just real quick, to close out my point, when I talk about different roles, when the woman ate the apple, that's not when sin entered the earth. It's when man ate the apple. So in that, you see that even though they did the exact same thing, Adam was held to a greater responsibility. And that is, and that is, and that's truly what biblical design is. There is a greater responsibility.
But I say to you in 1 Timothy chapter 2, because, you know, I've been reading out of 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to go on down to verse 14 where it says, "And Adam was not one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner." Often, and I've actually preached this word myself, where I said, what happened when Eve ate the apple? Nothing. But this is the first time I ever really paid this much attention. But it says she was deceived and she became a sinner. So there was something that happened. But I guess what I'm saying is Adam was right there, and it's the point I want to make. It's like you said, he was there, but he was not deceived. It says Adam was not the one deceived. So Adam allowed her to just walk, and I'm going somewhere with this, allowed the enemy to walk up, deceive this woman, and he did nothing. I'm saying to you, that's why this is important to me, is because we have a lot of brothers doing it today. And then the advice that we give them coming from the church is pray. Be submissive. I'm saying that's why I asked that question earlier. That's why I asked that question earlier. You know, because I believe, what was that movie called where the lady, she went in her closet, she was in her prayer closet all the time, her husband was going through whatever he was going through. What was the name of that?
Was that worse? Oh, my gosh.
I can't even think of it.
I can't remember.
Books and, yeah, they had Bibles, and she was this prayer warrior. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. But I do understand when a woman says, okay, baby, I had enough. I've had enough. And we, it seems like in society today, we do a really good job of telling women what they can and cannot do. And you know what? I'm not deviating from the word of God one bit. I'm not even every word in the Bible. But I believe that every word in the Bible, there's a context in certain regards. We cannot misinterpret the word of God. I believe that. And so sometimes I struggle. And one of the things I struggle with is that, you know, when is it okay for a woman to speak up? See, I believe that a woman can speak up in private. I mean, the Bible clearly states that she shouldn't do it in front of people, in front of the congregation. Right? Am I right or wrong? It clearly talks about that. And
right.
So I'm saying in private, she ought to be able to talk to her husband. She ought not have to be the one to say, baby, you going to pray? I don't want to pray. And then she just be quiet and bow her head and say a silent prayer. I mean, it's up to personal preference, but I don't think that should be the rule for the way we deal with these things. I don't think it should be the rule. If some of the women that we mentioned in the Bible, when we go back and read, if they had just been quiet the whole time, in the case of Deborah, a lot of people would have died. The destiny that God had for them would not have been fulfilled. Go ahead, I'm gonna
right.
Listen.
So what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about like that the woman is quiet. What I'm talking about is the woman does not try to exert her authority. Right, and that's a big difference. Hey, baby, you want to pray over dinner? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not really trying to do that. Okay, baby, is it okay if I pray for us in the family? Go and do what you do.
So,
okay,
so she
cool.
got to ask for permission? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? Because here's the deal. The man has advocated his role as a spiritual leader, right? Now, now, once again, I don't force the authority. You know,
right.
he's still supposed to be the head over the household. Hey, baby, I'm trying to bring this into the household. Are you good with that? Yeah, it's fine, right? You know, and then she prays over dinner, right? And,
okay,
and so I'm not
no?
advocating, huh?
What if he says no?
Then she doesn't pray over dinner. That's it. I mean, that is really it. And it sounds harsh. But I'll tell you, as I was going through the courting, the dating part of my life, I told women the biggest thing. Y'all have the hardest role, so you better choose right. Because God says your job is to honor your man. and honor your husband. So once that man becomes your husband, if he says no, no has to be no. Right? Now,
right.
if he's telling
right.
you to do something
right.
that goes against God's word, that's a whole different thing, right? But if he's saying, like, no, I don't want you.
But wouldn't sit down what? And don't pray, wouldn't that go against God's word?
No, because what he's saying is you can't pray in this moment, right? Now, if you should have
uh-huh.
your time by yourself that you commune with God and you pray and you worship, and you have your Sundays that you commune with God and you pray and you worship, those are your time. But in that household, he is supposed to be the head of the house. And if the head of the house saying, this ain't allowed in my house, then we have to submit to that. So it's a really bad situation for a woman of God to be in. That's why I tell them, you better choose well.
No, I get it. I just, the way you just put it, I've never thought about it just that way. I always thought about it from this side over here. You know how we get sometimes, we get in our own little world and we think in our own little circle, our own little box. But see, my thought is this, okay, if you don't want to pray, fine, I'm going to pray. Well, you can't pray out loud. Why not? You see, in my head, I can never fathom a guy saying that to a woman. But you know, like, I know it happens. Some women are struggling with it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But this is
the challenge, right? This is real talk. It's when I submit to the word of God, then I trust God to do everything. So if God says, I'm under the headship of this man is acting a fool, because I'm going to call that foolish, to not even allow his woman to pray. But you know what? My job is not to exert authority over my man. My job is to submit to what God told me to. And if this is a man and he doesn't want this in my house, I'm going to submit. Because here's what people don't understand. In that submission, in that meekness, you look strong, right? You're going to be like, you know, eventually a real man is going to be like, you know what, I'm oppressing my wife, right? This woman ain't asking me to go out and make $1 million. This woman ain't asking me to do stuff that's outside my realm. This woman's just asking me to pray for her and the family. And a real man with that loving heart and that gentle spirit from a woman, that's the trick. You know, a lot of women think they have to nag their man and get on to him and yell and scream at him to get them to conform. But you don't understand, it's that gentle spirit of a woman that helps, that brings out the most in a man, right? And, you know, it was funny. I was talking to some friends of mine, and they were asking about, like, why do some women get more help than other women? And I tell them it's real simple, right? When a woman has a house, right? One woman has a house, and she hires somebody to do her grass, right? The other woman has a house, and she's out there mowing the grass. I'll tell you this. That man, any man that drives by and see a woman mowing grass, something's going to appeal to him. Because what he sees is that gentle nature of a woman and the fact that now she's in a position, it's like, man, let me try to help her, right? And it's that gentle spirit, I think, sometimes that brings out the most in a man, because the man knows, like, hey, she's doing her part. What about my part, right? She ain't trying to be the man. She ain't trying to boss me around. She's being gentle and loving, which is her part. Why? Let me step up and do my part.
Okay. Well, what about this? And then we'll talk about the women having the job and the stuff. But what about this scripture in Ephesians? I think it's Ephesians 5:21. He says that submit to one another out of the reverence for Christ. What about that scripture? Can that be applied in this situation, or am I taking that out of context?
I mean, we in reverence to Christ, and you got to go back. I think that's Ephesians, right? I think a couple of scripture earlier.
Yeah, Ephesians.
It talks about what that submission looks like, right? Right. The first part of submission, everybody loves. Men, love your women like Christ loved the church. And I love how Pastor Evan said,
uh-huh.
"How did Christ love the church to death?" So if you ain't dead, you got some loving to do, right? Everybody loves that part of the scripture. But then there's a second part. Women, submit to your husband as you would to Christ, right? So when you're talking about, like, what does Christ call us to do as men and women, men are to love their wives like Christ loved the church. And that's a sacrificial love. And I think a lot of people confuse that, right? A lot of people confuse, well, I'm the man, and you just need to do what I tell you to do. No. No. Because Christ never made us do what he told us to do. You know? There are times where, Christ just loved us and nurtured us. And when we messed up, he called us out, when we need to be called out. But other times, he loved us when we fell short, right? He told us. Remember he told Peter, hey, you're going to deny me three times before the sun has come up. And Peter's like, no, I will never do that. Right? Jesus Christ knew he was going to do that beforehand, but didn't change anything that he did. Right? Still loved Peter. Still just embraced Peter. Still say, you know what? I'm going to still use you even though you're going to deny me. And I'm telling you. And you would think, knowing in advance, Peter knew what Jesus had told him was going to do. So he had foreknowledge of this betrayal. He denied it in his heart. But when the opportunity came to say, like, oh, you know what? Jesus told me this was going to happen. Let me take that knowledge and apply it and be wise with it. He was like, I'm scared, dog. These people kind of, I don't know that dude. I don't know who he is. I told you I don't know that dude. You know?
But, dude, where I take issue in some of it is, I know we only got a few more minutes, man. We got about 10 more minutes. But I want to say this, in reference to that, the part about the scripture that I was just talking about in Ephesians 5, I like the first couple of verses where it talks about following God's example, and walk in the way of love. And I was hoping you would go back to that because, it's hard, man. It's hard to love somebody who doesn't love you back the way you need to be loved. And I know I'm defending all women on this call tonight, but it's hard. So having said that, I do want to jump over and talking about working, because this was the part about our conversation that got interesting to me, because I told you one of my daughters, she's like, well, if he ain't at least making like $40,000 a year, I really can't talk to him, Pop, because he wasting his life. And I've tried to be the upright father and say, well, man, you might really be missing out on your true blessing from God. So, Jason, why is it that our women are getting educated at a higher rate than our men? And I'm one of them. I just want everybody to know. I'm one of them. I'm in my 50s. Even though I'm living life like I'm in my 30s, I might look a little bit like I'm in my 30s, but I'm in my 50s, and I'm just now going to school my own self.
Right. And I'm going to go back to what I said before. And this is not just men. This is not just women, but this is men. If I'm going to put the standards of what I want in my life, then I've already written God out of it, right? And,
really?
And the challenge.
I'm sorry.
You said what?
And God didn't say, okay. And
that's it. If God has told you the man I have for you is going to be, this PhD making $250,000 a year, rich and popular. If God Karen told you that, I ain't going to argue with you. I told you that. But, there ain't too many men out there like that. So if he already belongs to some other woman, that ain't the man God gave to you. But going back to what we said, I think the challenge is if God hadn't told you that and then you put those standards on your life, then you're already out of order. So then, this man that come up, you may, like you tell your daughter, and I have a daughter too, and I hate it because, I'll be like, baby, you can't have all these standards. I mean, you got to have some standards, right? But you can't be all these lists because God may give you something that doesn't look like what you think it should look like, but it'll be the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the challenge is submission, right? And if we can't operate in submission, both men and women, then we'll never have what God has planned for us. So if that man says, well, I need my woman to look like Halle Berry. And he get a woman that doesn't quite look like Halle Berry,
right?
And he denies that, and he spends his life chasing that woman that looks like Halle Berry, and get heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak. Well, that ain't nothing but you being rebellious, and the same thing for the woman, right? And my favorite line, and it's awesome because
you know, I had people tell me, well, God blessed me with this great job, so why would he want to send me somebody who doesn't do as much as me? And then I had to go back and challenge him. I'm like, okay, so you're telling me God blessed you with this education and stuff, right? Was that God's will for you to go to school, or was that your will? Because if you're sitting with, like, a couple hundred thousand dollars of debt, you got to ask me how God going to say. If God made a will and plan for you, wouldn't he provide the provisions for you?
Raise that kind of a low blow there. Raise that kind of a right below the belt.
Well, so it's not meant to be that way. What it's meant to be is for us to understand how far our rebellion goes, right?
But
how
is that
far...
rebellion?
Yes.
Is he rebellious?
I call it rebellion because God has a plan and a will for me in my life, right?
So you're the
and that's what
black
I should be committed to.
So you're the
say,
first
what?
Black Taliban member.
Whatever God's Taliban. Plan and will for my life, that's what it is.
I know,
now,
but you don't think you make that tough, though? You don't think that's a tough way to look at it? Ladies, if you got a $90,000 in debt because you wanted to be educated, then you might have been going against the will of God. Is that really the message, though?
Well, that's the thing about it. So for me, it's not what you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's the heart behind it. Why are you chasing these degrees? Why are you putting yourself in debt, right? Because if we truly trust God, like the scripture said, hey, look at the flowers. They don't have to worry about it. They're dressed nice every day. Look at the birds. They eat every day. They don't have to worry about food. Right?
Oh,
so he provides food, clothing, and shelter for the least of his creations. So if I truly trust God, then he's going to provide for me.
Okay, I got a question.
Yes.
Now you make life hard for me because I can't, my brain is – I see a whole bunch of people living on the street every day. Some of them choose to do it, but some of them don't. What you saying? God ain't – not like the sparrow. God ain't got his eye on him?
I don't know. I mean, here's the deal.
The reason –
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Well, the reason I put it out there like that is because just like women are getting saddled with a bunch of debt for getting educated, so are men.
Right.
What's the difference? And if that man
there
is saddled with a bunch of debt, well, hold on. If the man is saddled with a bunch of debt and he gets married and he's saying his wife can't work, bearing and rearing and doing all this stuff, it's even less money in the house because she's a stay-at-home mama barefooted and pregnant, cooking all the time, and he's working. It doesn't make sense. And he still got the same debt.
So first of all, I don't think there's any difference, right? You know,
I
say this
okay.
with the fact that I'm still carrying my student loan debt is older than my children. So
for real?
So I would tell you, I've had this stuff for a while. I would tell you, going to school, was that the will of God for my life? Can I honestly say it was? I can't. I didn't pray on it.
Really?
I didn't see God on it. And, you know, when I was an 18-year-old coming out of school, God was not in my purview. So I made decisions that I wanted to do. Man, I want to go to this college because it sounds like a cool school and I can party a lot, right? I made a lot of decisions for my own life outside of the will of God. So I don't say this as a shock because I've done it to myself. I don't think I operate in the will of God in my schooling. In my education, right? But as an adult, I started to submit myself to the will of God. And as I'm looking at jobs, right?
Uh-huh.
I get offered job when I get job offers. I always say, God, where do you want me? And I'll tell you, there have been times where I found this job, and similar to me going to school, man, this is a job I always dreamed about. And I get in there, and I'll tell you, each and every time, all heck is broken loose. But those jobs that I go to, where God has said, this is where I want you, you'd be surprised what I'm able to do. And I'm not even talking about financially. I'm not even talking about the money that I'm making. I'm talking about the lives that I'm able to touch because God has put me in this spot in the season of my life that I'm in to help the people around me, right? So I would tell people, like, you know, that whole going to school, making the money, man, if it's in the will of God, then you should see the fruit of it, right? And kind of going back to, hey, you know what? I want you to sit at home. I tell people the same thing. Look, this is how much I make. This is how much God has blessed me to make a year. This is the life I can afford to give you. If that's not the life God has called you to have, You got to keep it on moving.
All right, okay. But okay. Just because you pray about a thing don't mean, you know, I got a saying, and I know you heard me say it. Sometimes, how did I put it? Sometimes the, well, what did I call it? What is it when you're in a bad situation? What's the word?
Which part is that?
Come on. When you're going through trials.
Yeah.
Sometimes the trial is the blessing, that hardship you're suffering. It is in itself the blessing.
Right.
That tough marriage that you went through a few years ago with that heathen person, you didn't see it as a blessing, but it was the blessing that you need because it was what pushed you closer to God. It was what helped you see what God had for you. It was what you needed to get you to step out on true faith and not depending on your own. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes that is the blessing, and I think a lot of people miss it. So going back to the whole thing with the women, when you were talking about the debt, because I got stuck on that debt, but sometimes being able to manage that and having to have to struggle through that teaches that woman that, you know what, God has always put a desire in my heart to be a wonderful wife. And she learned to struggle with that student loan debt so that when she did get married, God already knew that that was going to be a challenging marriage. I'm just saying. I ain't saying it's true. I'm just going to.
No. But there's also a time, right? Let's not forget this. God is a God that will, to your point, allow you to experience things to grow your character, to grow your faith. Look at Joseph. Great story, right? He allowed Joseph to go through all that. But then we also serve an omnipotent God that can take our messes and make miracles. So I may have stepped out on my own like I did with this student loan created this mess and created this struggle. But then when I bring it to God, he make miracle. But let's not conflate the fact that God did not put me in that. My rebellion put me in that. God just chose to say, I'm going to bless you in the midst of it. Right.
Okay.
So to your point, there are times where God will actually allow us to experience that trial that, you know, to further bless us. But more often than not, when you hear people's story and you hear how you got here and you start talking about some of those decisions, you're like, where was God? Oh, yeah. You know, see, I prayed, woman, and I prayed, God, if you want me to have this, you know, break my toe. Seriously, that's a prayer you said? Yeah, he didn't break my toe, so I guess he wanted me to have it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what? Before we close out this evening, Jason, I just want to say it like this. I just believe in our society. We women living in our society, I really believe that it's a very tough situation for all involved, that man and women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think it's a really tough situation. But as long as we stay focused on the Word of God, these situations will work themselves out. And what I mean by that is God will give us the direction. He will put us in the situations we need to be in. He will remove us from situations that he does not want us in. But that comes only through prayer and meditation, right? We've got to build a greater relationship with Christ in order for all these things to come to pass the way that we want them to. So, did you have anything before we close out this? Did you have anything else you want to say for tonight? We got 35, 40 seconds.
No, just one last recipe for successful relationship between men and women. I like what you said. You need one part prayer, right? To pray on it, to seek what God's will is. You need another part of the relationship. But what you really need, you need three parts of submission. To say, God, what you have for me, I'm going to accept. Right? Not the ideas I have in the head, whether it be about my man, whether it be about my life, whether it be about how much money I have in my account, but what you have for me. Right? And when you can put those things together, right, and bake them up and just let them cook up, what will come from that is a position that allows you to have the relationship God really wants from you.
Amen. I appreciate that, Jason. I appreciate that. Y'all hear that? Yeah, take down that recipe. What was it, Jason? One part what?
One part, it's one part prayer, one part manifest, growing that relationship with Christ, and three parts submission.
See, submission is the greatest part. I want everybody to understand.
Submission is the greatest part. It's 60% of what we have to do. Not 50, but 60.
60. All right. Amen to that. So as we said about this time, we want to welcome y'all for this. Find something you love. Chase it. Embrace it. That is your relentless pursuit. This is Minister Cedric and Jason. Dan, have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next week. God bless you.
Lord, I just want to say thank you for sending your son down to die for my sins. Even though I messed up, did I get it wrong? You love me unconditionally. So here I am, all I have is you. A sinner saved by grace, but is that really true? Cause I'm still feeling love for what I used to do. And I don't feel a change, but my heart yearns for you. I don't feel complete, even when it's going right. When I'm missing you, Lord, please come into my life. Loving you the real test, not to love you to get blessed. And yes, I know that you the best. So here I am to worship, sacrifice my life so you can work it. How you see fit for your glory is worth it. Everything else can take a backseat. Running to your throne for your mercy like a track meet. Why you have to ask me? I don't understand. Without you, Lord, how can I be a real man? I ain't gon' try. I give you all of me, Lord, and ride till I die. Put my knees to the floor.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. Altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. Altogether worthy. Altogether
here I am, all I have is me. Still to this day, it feel make-believe. Why would you save me? I stoned you to death. I made you bleed on your cross to your last breath. Lord, was I really worth it? Cause apart from you, my life is all worthless. Ain't no point in working, cause it's all in vain. Without a real purpose, I really need to change. I don't know how, it's amazing that you even called me. Lord, I'm in awe, see my struggles still haunt me. Random women every night, just to feel wanted. To feel like a man, cause my daddy didn't want me. Had a past pain, addicted to Mary Jane. Father on cocaine, money down the drain. Baby mama drama, got me going insane. I know I've been redeemed, but
here
I don't feel a change.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
I'm paying homage to your Father, that's my only option. After you ripped the veil and gave me the gospel, so I could see the truth, so I could walk with you. And that's the greatest thing that anyone can ever do. You really saved my life when I was worse at it. An addict on any level for pleasure, pain, and passion. I could never grasp it, cause it's never lasting. But Lord, you everlasting. I burn my flesh to ashes so I can walk with you. Your love is unconditional. So even though I struggle with my past, you still see me through. Sometimes I get it wrong, I fail plenty times, but I get back up and I ride your son, live and die for my eternal life. So now I'm still tight. God inside, you give me light. Now I'm saying I will fight all my pain, hurt, and my struggles in my past life. Lord, you wipe away my tears every night.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow.